3, 2, 1, launch. We have a viral pole and a gray.
We confirm that.
Tally-ho.
Okay, Dave, copy that. Sounds great. Can you see much?
Oh, it looks like it might be oscillating maybe 10 degrees at the most.
Be advised at my mark, you're leaving the sphere of lunar influence, and it's downhill from here on in. Mark.
Thank you, Joe. That's nice to know.
Did you notice anything there, Dave? Discontinuity in velocity or anything like that?
Well, Joe, that's one of the mysteries that we'll probably have to keep to ourselves.
I was afraid of that.
Weather report from the Houston area is one word, soggy. Rain has fallen off and on for more than 24 hours, and there was a long, steady rain most of yesterday afternoon. Going to be a lot of grass cutting to do when you get back down here, guys.
Oh, yeah, we sure got nice, sunny weather up here.
No clouds up there, huh? That's amazing.
Yeah. No, it's just clear and crystal.
Thinking about all that sunshine up there.
We saw human reactions when Dave Scott and Jim Irwin were near the front, which every scientist at some time in his life undergoes when he makes a discovery, and we were able to participate with these two scientists who are walking along the front. The excitement of discovering something new, not only of just discovering something new, but of discovering a kind of thing that one had hypothesized would be there, and of seeing a scientific hypothesis being tested and in a sense, confirmed. Of course, there's much to be done yet before all the answers are in, but I think there were certain very broad, general things that were associated with this site and this particular region on the moon, which we expected, and we saw the excitement that came out when you saw, yes, indeed, there were two kinds of rocks or three kinds of rocks at the front, or different kinds of rocks and the kinds of rocks that we might have expected to find in different places. So I think we see in the Apollo, in this particular site, in this particular mission, a kind of maturity in the Apollo program and the space program, which many of us at one time were frankly pessimistic, might never have developed or might be very slow to develop in the program. But I think that we now see a scientific program, a mature scientific program, which we have no doubt, which we have no question, you know, will take its place in the history of science with many of the other great discoveries that have led our society to the place where we are today.
For example, let me say what I would regard as a very important atom. Iodine-129 is radioactive, and plutonium, radioactive. And we know from our study of the meteorites that these radioactive elements were made just shortly before the solar system went together. Now, if I could find evidence for these having been present in the moon and have produced their decay products, which belong in the field of xenon-129, xenon-134, and xenon-136, if I could see that these are definitely present in higher concentrations than in the Earth, then I would know that the materials of the moon are older than the materials of the Earth. And this would be a very strong argument in favor of the moon having been captured. This is a datum that I'm looking for. It hasn't appeared yet, in my opinion, or in the opinion of other people studying the subject, but I'm always looking for it.
Correct?
That's correct, and of course when we turn, they dig in, and it makes the rear end break out, but it's okay, we handle it.
Knew you could.
And add to Jim's comment that the near side of the rear wall is smooth without any outcrops there by St. George, and the far side has got all sorts of debris. Almost looks like we could drive down in on this side, doesn't it?
Stand by on that, Dave.
So we could drive back out.
Stand by on that, Dave.
Oh, now I can turn around and look to the northwest where the reel trends to the north. But I'll let me concentrate on elbow for the moment.
Yeah, let's get to elbow.
The range estimate must have been off for elbow. Our map says 2.7. Joe said 3.2, I guess.
Our estimated, Jim, was 3.1 from your landing site.
I see, that's right. That's the difference, yeah. Well, this is really a sporty driving course. Man, oh man, what a Grand Prix this is. There's old elbow. Isn't it? It's a real fresh one down there.
Elbow's larger than that.
Yeah, but there's a nice fresh one then.
Yeah, but you want to go a little farther east. See, that's elbow out at 11:30.
Oh yeah, Raj. Gosh, that's a long way away.
Yeah.
Distances are very deceiving. Like we've been driving for an hour. Are you sure that's elbow, Jim?
Yeah. Yeah, you want to go farther east, do you?
Okay. Down this little crater. Back up.
See, that's elbow out at our 1 o'clock position.
Sure, this is elbow right here, I believe, my friend.
Yeah, this is elbow right here.
Yeah,
those large ones.
The one we're just trending into.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a big fella, isn't it?
Yeah, it sure is. I don't know,
take a look up here and we'll see how she looks.
Maybe you can, angle uphill here?
Yeah, there's... How we doing on time there, Houston?
Like gangbusters, Dave and Jim, continue on and we'll give you the exact number in a minute.
Okay, do we want to stop at elbow or press on?
Stop. Follow the checklist, just as planned.
Just as planned, okay. Okay, let's go right up on the ridge line there. I see some debris. Maybe we can get some refreshment in the rim. Be looking down.
Pardon me, something is just now coming down.
Okay, fine. I'm over in the limb with them, and they're just going through the checklist.
Very good.
Okay, the heading is 290 349 7.3 4.7 095 100 8290. Motor temps are both 4 limit.
Copy and standing by for the shadow.
And the shadow is, it's 4 degrees left.
And let's get the other two.
Rolling pitch?
Yeah, the pitch is about 3 degrees down. And the roll.
You have to hold it in a damn position, I guess.
If I can get it there, it's standing. The roll's 5 degrees right.
Roger, we copy. And It looks at first glance that that heading is still a good heading. We'll be back with you.
Did you have a good pile of rocks right here?
Hey, look at that light-colored rock with almost looks like a white vein on top of the other rock.
Yeah, look at that. How about that? We'll get that one.
Get it now.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a breccia. It's a dark gray rock that looks like a big pinnacle with a small gray and white breccia on top of it. The pinnacle is about 6 inches across and 4 or 5 inches high. On top of it is about a 2 to 3 inch subangular frag with a light gray or medium gray matrix and about 20% white clast in it. Very unique. Stands out. it's amazing.
Not at all, brother. You got her. I'll do all the... Might as well be your checklist.
Oh, yeah. Guess what? Yeah,
I think I... Joe will talk me through it.
Which bag you want to put the SESC in, Joe, while I got it here?
I'm sure you've been thinking of that. I didn't figure I'd get it. I'm going to twist this.
Anyone fine.
Right now, try and get it going. Too late. Put up. Jim?
Yeah.
Okay. Nothing? Press on.
Okay, Joe, I'm going to do a little, little sampling of the trench.
The samples that were collected sounded very much like we got not only the crystalline rock, or what has now become the famous anorthosite fragment, I guess, and other crystalline rocks that the crew mentioned, that may well represent that early lunar crust. And the breccia fragments described by the crew, and there were such a variety of those breccia fragments that we may very well have sampled at least two of the ejecta blankets of the large basins that I mentioned. Now, I want to go back and emphasize one thing. When I say lunar crust, I'm talking about the material on the moon that preceded the formation of the large basins. Now, there are many reasons to believe that subsequent to the precise point at which you could consider the moon had formed as a planetary body, that it was accumulation of a large amount of solar system debris. Subsequent to that, for any one of several possible reasons, more probably because of the accumulation of accretional energy, that is the energy released as these particles of the solar system came together, the moon partially melted, and in that melting process the crust was formed. That's what we were trying to look at in part by the sampling at the Apennine front, and I think everybody feels there's a good chance that we in fact did accomplish that objective.
Out here in the wonders of the unknown at Hadley, I try to realize there's a fundamental truth to our nature. Man must explore. And this is exploration at its greatest.
Okay, we're moving forward, Joe.
Roger.
And we're coming around left, heading directly south right now to miss some craters off to our right. Very subdued craters.
Okay, I'm going to take a little zigzag here.
One to our right is...
Hang on. Get a feel for this thing.
9 kilometers an hour, Joe. Hold the geology. Let's get the rover squared away first. 8 kilometers, up a little rise.
Apollo 15, Houston, over.
Hello, Houston. Endeavor's on the way home with a burn status report for you.
Roger, sounds good. Standing by.
Roger. Ignition was on time. Burn time was 2 plus 2, 1. No trim. The residuals were minus 0.2, plus 0.6, and plus 0.2. Delta BC was minus 16.7. Fuel. The imbalance was about minus 25. And what a smooth burn that one was.
Well, we're almost speechless looking at this thing. It's amazing. Looks like we're going straight up, and we're leaving. There's no doubt about that. And we're right on the terminator. It shows very distinctly all the topography, all the topographic highs and lows. And we can see some major rills. And we noticed one large lava filling within a depression with domes, very prominent within the lava fill. Just really pretty spectacular. We have one crater almost below us that has a flat floor with radial rills and circumferential rills extending from the central peaks. And I think we saw that as we flew over.
Good Endeavor crew, Suswa, rise and shine. It's splashdown day.
Oh, my, yes.
Good morning, Dave.
Good morning, Joe. That got everybody up.
Morning, JP.
Morning, Alfredo.
Joe, sounds like you're really in harmony this morning.
That's once.
This is Apollo Control. Apparently the crew of Apollo 15 is very definitely awake after having the Hawaiian war chant come up the airwaves. Their heart rates on the cardioscope here jump somewhat. The flight surgeon's console. When the music began, that particular version of Hawaiian war chant was done by Al Kealoha Perry. Apollo 15 now, 53,782 feet, as you were, miles, nautical miles from Earth, approaching at a velocity of 7,940 feet per second. 8 hours, 35 minutes to splashdown.